Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming at you right now. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, in Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Sorry for the delay. We're a little bit late getting the Wobcast up this week, but Nate and I were applying aloe vera to our sunburns from our very wild and crazy bi-week vacations. Nate went to somewhere in the Dominican Republic and sipped on umbrella drinks for the last week, and I was in Loretto, Minnesota, doing yard work, like putting hoses away, putting deck furniture under the deck, turning the water off of the outside faucets, you know, super exciting, fun things like that that you think of when you think bye week. So anyway, but here we are. We're back after a few days away from you and only one Wobcast last week. We're back to the regular schedule. We will have two Wobcasts for you this week. The one later in the week, we'll get into more Vikings Chiefs specifics and previewing that game. Today, we're going to take a look at what happened last week during the Vikings bye week. We're going to look at some top performers and storylines from the first 4 weeks of the Vikings season. We'll take a spin around the NFC North with Nate in a little bit, and then we'll take a look ahead at the next quarter of the schedule. First, though, let's recap what happened for the Vikings over their bye. One of the big things was Gerald Hodges being traded to the San Francisco 49ers, a rare in-season trade. It does not happen very often in the NFL, but the Vikings and San Francisco 49ers executed one of those in-season trades last week. Gerald Hodges goes to the San Francisco 49ers to bulk up their depth at linebacker. It will be interesting to see what the 49ers' plans are for Hodges. Remember, they run a 3-4 defense primarily, so will they play him outside or will they play him inside? It'll be interesting to see how that transpires for Haji and the 49ers. For the Vikings, they get a backup center named Nick Easton, who was a rookie undrafted free agent this past year, signed with Baltimore after the draft, was traded to the Niners right before the season, I believe, and now he's been traded to the Vikings. So a rare instance where an undrafted rookie is playing for his third team and is doing so because he was traded twice. You don't see that a bunch, but it happened to Nick Easton. He is now a Viking, and he adds to the Vikings' depth along the offensive line. The Vikings also get a sixth-round draft pick in the trade, and that now gives them eight draft picks in the 2016 NFL draft. We all know how much Rick Spielman likes to move and shake in the draft. He likes to come away with as many first-round picks as he can, and he likes to come away with double-digit draft picks each year. He adds to his ability to do that by making this trade, getting some extra ammo, picks up the additional six-round pick. So right now, eight picks for the Vikings in the 2016 draft for those of you scoring at home. Another thing going on during the bye week, we hope the Vikings are nursing their wide receivers back to health. Going into the bye week, the Vikings were without wide receiver Charles Johnson against Denver, and Jarius Wright did play but was limited because of a hand injury, so we hope those guys are getting their way back to being healthy. And once they are healthy, folks, with the emergence of Stephon Diggs in that game against the Broncos, it's clear the Vikings are loaded at wide receiver. They have six very good and capable wide receivers that they know they can use in games, guys who have had production in the past at the NFL level. Of course, you have Mike Wallace and Charles Johnson, who have gotten the bulk of the reps at wide receiver. You also know that you can use Jarius Wright in a lot of different ways. Cordarrelle Patterson and Adam Thielen, obviously, and now Stephon Diggs. So once Charles Johnson and Jarius Wright are both healthy, and assuming that there is health for the other wide receivers, it's clear the Vikings have six who can play. Now, it's not often that a team has six wide receivers active on a game day. It's a lot to have active. The Vikings could choose to do that moving forward, but if they choose not to, it will be interesting to see who they deactivate on game day. I think there are a lot of different ways you could go, and it'll be interesting to see how Norv Turner and Mike Zimmer handle that going forward. The last bye week bullet point. U.S. Bank Stadium has reached the 75% completion mark. So another landmark moment in the stadium construction, three quarters of the way there. Any of you who live in or around the metropolitan area here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, you've probably driven by it and you're starting to see it take great form, and it's becoming a hallmark piece of the Minneapolis skyline, looking really good. It's now 75% of the way complete. I would have to imagine they're getting very close on and closing the structure, and with most of the work that's remaining will be work that's done inside the stadium. So kind of an exciting moment in U.S. Bank Stadium construction timeline is the fact that it's reached the 75% completion mark. All right, let's take a look back through the first four games at some of the Vikings' top performances or storylines. With 12 games to go and four in the books, here's what's happened. Adrian Peterson is back. Entering the Vikings' week four bye, he was the leading rusher. More importantly, he started finding the end zone, and we all were waiting to see what the Vikings' offense would look like with Adrian playing behind Teddy Bridgewater, and you're starting to see what Norv Turner and the Vikings coaches have in mind. They're certainly not clicking on all cylinders quite yet, but Adrian has had a couple of very good games, and Teddy had perhaps his best game of the season going into the bye week. It came in a loss to the Denver Broncos, but Teddy looked very good in that game, and you're starting to see the running game and the passing game meld together. It's certainly not where they want it to be, but strides are being made, and a big part of that is Adrian being back. He looks very good, and it looks like he's going to be someone who's going to have to, I mean, defenses are going to have to factor him into the game plan. He's reached the age of 30, but there certainly is a lot of tread left on the tires for Adrian Peterson. He's been a fun guy to watch this season. Speaking of a fun guy to watch, let's go to the Vikings defense. Anthony Barr back and playing even above the level he was playing at last year as a rookie. Through 12 games, Anthony Barr was a leading candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year. Of course, he missed the last four games because of an injury, made it back from that injury, and was good to go at the start of this season. And once again, he's impacting the game in a lot of different ways. Mike Zimmer can do a lot of things with Anthony Barr. He can put him in the A gap and mug the center. He can put him on the edge of the line of scrimmage and have him rush the passer. He can drop him into coverage. He can rely on him to shed blockers and be a force in the run game. So Anthony Barr off to a very good start this season and a big piece of what Mike Zimmer wants to do defensively. How about Jeff Locke and the punt team? Jeff Locke putting together a sneaky dominant performance so far this season. Through four games, Locke and the punt team are surrendering less than 1 yard per punt return. Think about that, folks. When the Vikings punt the ball, teams are not advancing it after a punt. He has 9 punts inside the 20, and going into the bye week, the Vikings punt team ranked number one in opponent starting field position after a punt. The average is the 17-yard line. I don't know how that stat changed with the games that happened in week five, but going into the week four bye, the Vikings punt team, number one in the NFL. So great job by Jeff Locke. Great job by that punt team. And actually, one guy who's been playing very well covering punts has been rookie cornerback Trey Waynes. Of course, you'd like to see him continue to get more and more playing time defensively, but as he's developing underneath Mike Zimmer defensively, he's impacting games on special teams, most notably playing on that Vikings punt team. So they've been a good group to watch. They've been helping the Vikings win a lot of field position battles through their first four games. Lastly, how about the Vikings defensive line? And I'll throw Anthony Barr in here as well. Against the Detroit Lions and the San Diego Chargers in weeks 2 and 3, the Vikings defensive line was battering Matthew Stafford and Phillip Rivers, and they really paced the effort in those two wins. They did not get to Peyton Manning as frequently as they did get to Matthew Stafford and Phillip Rivers, but of course it's tough to get to Peyton Manning. He gets rid of the ball quickly. But going forward, you know that this Vikings defensive line is going to be a handful for opposing offenses to handle. You know, it's going to be the number one thing that Andy Reid and Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs talk about in their meetings this week as they prepare to play the Vikings, is how to block this defensive front by the Vikings. I mean, all four starters returning and playing well, Everson Griffin and Brian Robinson on the edges. Everson Griffin has been good virtually every game. I thought Brian Robinson's best game was against the Detroit Lions. And then you have Linval Joseph and Sharif Floyd wreaking havoc in the middle as defensive tackles. You have good depth behind those two guys with Tom Johnson and Shamar Stephen. So a very good performance through the first four games by the Vikings defensive line, making life miserable for opposing quarterbacks, and hopefully they can do that to Alex Smith coming out of the bye. Then they have a date again with Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions in week 7. So very good work put in by the Vikings defensive line, plus Anthony Barr getting after opposing quarterbacks. Let's take a spin around the NFC North. We get an update from our division foes, courtesy of producer Nate Vaughn. We welcome him in. Hello, Nate. NFC North, what do you got?
Hello, Wabi. We've mentioned the Chiefs a couple times now being our next opponent.
Mm-hmm.
They hosted the Chicago Bears last weekend, so that's where we'll start. The Chiefs having a 17-3 lead late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But falling to the Chicago Bears, another rally for the Chicago Bears, another come-from-behind win. The Bears now at 2-3, the Chiefs falling to 1-4.
Yeah, at 0-3, a lot of people wanted to write the Bears off and say they're dead for the season, but now they rattle off two victories in a row, and they do it in dramatic fashion, including last week against the Chiefs. Unfortunately, Jamaal Charles goes down with a knee injury. As of this recording, no official word on what the injury is, but everyone is fearing it's a season-ending injury for Jamaal Charles. If that is the case, the Vikings will not have to deal with him on Sunday. But going back to the Bears, Jay Cutler getting the job done late in the game, and this, Nate, is without Alshon Jeffrey on the field. So that the Chicago Bears are winning games and the way that they're winning them without Alshon Jeffrey tells you that when Alshon Jeffrey does return, this is a team that you cannot write off. It's a team you're going to have to be buttoned up against if you want to go and win, especially the Vikings' first game against the Bears this season is at Soldier Field. The Vikings have not won at Soldier Field since 2007. I hope Coach Zimmer isn't listening because he hates when we talk about things like that. And hopefully Coach Zimmer and the guys can go into Soldier Field and get a victory this year. But to do so, they're going to have to be completely buttoned up because this is a Bears team that's getting more and more confident as the season goes on. They've won two straight.
We'll move north from Chicago to Green Bay, mm-hmm. where the Packers moved on to 5-0, defeating St. Louis last week. Aaron Rodgers, not quite as dominant as we're used to seeing him at home, throwing two picks, breaking that famous streak of his. Games without an interception at home. But in the end, didn't really matter. The Green Bay's defense really stepped up, and they took care of the St. Louis Rams. The Packers now 5-0, and really in the driver's seat still in the NFC North.
And really, Nate, I'd say in the driver's seat in the NFC. They're 5-0. There are two other undefeated teams in the NFC. I believe the Falcons are 5-0. The Panthers are 4-0. They did not play this week because of a bye, so that's why they're 4-0. But I say the Packers are the team in the driver's seat in our division and in the conference. Now, what's troubling is that it was their defense who stepped up to the plate and really led the charge in their latest victory. That's one thing you have been able to say about the Packers for the last few seasons is, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is great, but that defense, you should be able to score on them. St. Louis Rams had some trouble. So you like seeing a Rams defense able to give the Packers fits offensively. I know they still scored 24 points, but it was not as easy as it normally is for Aaron Rodgers and company. So you like seeing that because it gives you hope that your defense can do the same thing. And certainly the Vikings defense should be able to do that with how they're playing lately. But you don't like seeing Clay Matthews and that Packers defense playing as well as they were because that's not something you're used to having to deal with. And normally when the Packers defense has done something great, you could say, well, yeah, they're playing with a lead and the offense is scoring 35 points and there's no pressure on the defense. But that Packers defense was downright nasty against the Rams. So a pretty complete team over there in Green Bay, and the road to division supremacy and perhaps NFC supremacy goes through Green Bay right now.
From one dominant team to another, the offensive steamroller that is the Arizona Cardinals had their way with the Detroit Lions last week. The Lions now 0-5, still the only remaining team without a win. Things got ugly pretty quickly, but I don't know if it was so much a statement game about Detroit as it was about the talent that Arizona has.
They can score points now. I mean, Carson Palmer and that cast of receivers and then, a defense that plays with a big lead, they can get after you and get aggressive. Cardinals are definitely a team that you're going to have to deal with in the NFC if you want to go anywhere. But, the Detroit Lions, playing at home, I'm sure they're disappointed with that loss, moving to 0-5. This is not a roster, talking about the Detroit Lions, that's an 0-5 roster. I mean, Matthew Stafford, for whatever warts you want to point out of his, the guy can throw it around the yard, and he's accurate. When he's playing well, he's accurate. Of course, they have Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate. I like the rookie running back, Amir Abdullah. I like Theo Riddick. They have some pieces on offense. Now, the Lions were a little banged up. They did not have Haloti Ngata. They lost defensive tackle Tyron Walker for the season, so they were a little banged up front, and I'm sure that did not help matters when they were playing the Arizona Cardinals offense. But again, I say this about the Chicago Bears. I will also say it about the Detroit Lions. You cannot just walk into Ford Field and think you're going to stomp on them. This is going to be an angry team. The Vikings don't see them for 2 weeks, so by this time or 2 weeks from now, the Lions may have gotten their first victory. They may be 0-6. I don't know what they're going to be, but either way, the Vikings are going to have to be buttoned up if they want to go to Ford Field and get a victory over the Detroit Lions, even if they are 0-6. Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson have too much pride to just lay over for you. They're going to want revenge against the Vikings from the week 2 beating that they took So, the Lions dropped to 0-5. I'm sure that there's lots of despair and negativity in that town, but the Lions will not just lie down. They're going to play tough, and the Vikings will have their hands full with Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. But also, if Haloti Ngata can get healthy, the Vikings will have their handful with him as well in a couple of weeks.
So a couple of those teams we just talked about are in the next four games of the Vikings schedule. Mm-hmm. We know coaches like to break schedules down into quarters.
Yes.
So we've played four games, had the bye. So now our next four games, we host the Chiefs, we're at Detroit, at Chicago, and then host the Rams at home. The Rams only 2-3, but still no pushover by any means. So what do you make of that four-game stretch for the Vikings?
Well, I think when you look at records of each team and then you add them up, you sit there and go, well, man, the Vikings should make some hay here. They should win four games. And that it may turn out to be the Vikings are favored in all four games. I don't know. The way the Bears are playing right now, though, the Vikings will probably be underdogs at Soldier Field. But don't look at the records of these teams and think they're going to be easy victories. When you look at each team individually, there are avenues to victory for each of those opponents. And the Vikings are going to have to make sure they close down those avenues to get the wins. None of those are going to be easy wins. The most important game is always the next game. For the Vikings, that's the Chiefs at home next week. They're likely going to be without Jamaal Charles. But again, I remember a couple of years ago, the Vikings played the Cleveland Browns, who were winless, had just traded Trent Richardson, and had to play their backup quarterback. And the Browns came in to the Metrodome and beat the Vikings. So, I mean, if that Browns team can beat the Vikings, this Chiefs team can most certainly beat the Vikings. You've got to watch Jeremy Maclin. You have to watch tight end Travis Kelce. Alex Smith can beat you with his legs. And this is a Chiefs pass rush that has Tom Bahaly and Justin Houston, a pair who has given the Vikings fits in the past and a pair who gives every team fits if they're not careful about them. So I do not write off the Kansas City Chiefs in the least. The Vikings are going to have to put a complete effort with all three phases if they're going to want to get back on the winning track here this week. Now, back-to-back division games, I don't care what year it is, what division you play in. When you play back-to-back weeks on the road, it's tough, especially that second game. Add in the fact that it's at Soldier Field where you haven't won, and it feels like 1,000 years, and you cannot just write down victories for the Vikings against the Lions and the Bears. Obviously, we know the Vikings have the map to victory against the Detroit Lions because they've done it once this season, and you hope that they can repeat that and do it again and do it at Ford Field. You go to Soldier Field and face the Bears. Alshon Jeffrey should be back and healthy, so you're going to have to contend with a quarterback in Jay Cutler who has a 23-13 career touchdown to interception ratio against your team. That's what Jay Cutler has done against the Vikings, so he's been very good against us, and you're going to have to deal with Forte and Alshon Jeffrey. Of course, there will not be a Matt Khalil-Jared Allen match because the Bears have traded Jared Allen, so you won't have to deal with Jared Allen, but they still have Lamar Houston, who's a good pass rusher in his own right, and they have Jay Ratliff, a defensive tackle, who they were missing for the first few games of the season. He is back and adds some beef to the middle of that defensive line, So certainly not a pushover. And then the last game in that quartet, Nate, that you mentioned is the St. Louis Rams. And I think anyone who watched the Rams-Packers game on Sunday knows that the Rams aren't a pushover either. They made life difficult for Aaron Rodgers and company. And if you can make life difficult for Aaron Rodgers and that offense, you can make life difficult for anyone. So what I love about that matchup is our great running back, Adrian Peterson, against their, they hope to be great running back, and Todd Gurley. He's been a lot of fun to watch. And then that Rams defensive front is dominant. I mean, they have one of the best defensive players in the NFL in Aaron Donald. They have Robert Quinn, who's been one of the best pass rushers in the last 5 years. Nick Fairley came from Detroit to the Rams to beef up the middle of that defensive line. So a very good Rams defense coming up in a little under a month. They'll be coming here. And, after the Chiefs game, Nate, three straight games against NFC opponents. I don't think that should be lost in the conversation either. Those NFC games are all very important. All right, thank you, Nate. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast. We'll be back with a Vikings-Chiefs preview edition of the Wobcast later in the week. Until then, make sure you check out the website. Tons of Vikings-Chiefs preview content. Also, if you haven't already, please download the Vikings app. You can get all of the great VEN content that we produce on a weekly basis delivered straight to your favorite mobile device. So until next time, and for producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshall. We'll talk to you later.